Welcome to this podcast from St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We hope you consider hitting like or subscribe. We hope you will share this audio with your friends and neighbors, help others know about our inclusive, theologically progressive community of faith. If you'd like to support our ministries, you can make a gift at stmichaelsabq.org.
Gracious God, let these words be more than words. Give us the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Godly play is a curriculum created by an Episcopal priest, Jerome Berryman, to teach children the stories of our faith. And if you've encountered the curriculum before, you will recognize a godly playroom instantly. Because when you go in, you'll discover yourself surrounded by simple wooden toys that tell Bible stories. There are little sheep that look like blocks. Noah's Ark is just the right size to sit in your lap. There's a little wooden set with a chalice, a paten, and bread. There's often a big felt calendar on the wall in the shape of a circle, and you see the purple of Lent and the gold of Easter. And today there'd be a big arrow pointing into the middle of a sea of green Sundays, and that's today. And if you stay in the room a little while and keep looking around, you would see a shelf full of boxes, all painted gold. The gold boxes are for a special set of stories. And when the storyteller takes one down from the shelf, they make a big deal of it. They notice that this must be a special story. The gold boxes are for the parables, the stories Jesus told, the stories Jesus wanted us to remember and to tell again and again as we live the story of our lives. I had to set that one down because there is no godly play story for the parable Jesus tells today. The story of the man who hoards his wealth. When you're little, it can be hard to understand why Jesus would tell a story about a way that he hopes we won't behave in the world. We don't want our kids to internalize this story of scarcity. We don't want our kids to internalize it, but that story of scarcity is all around us, isn't it? There's not enough money for education, for NPR, to send life-saving medicine, or to fight for human rights. We need that money for the world's largest border patrol. The story of scarcity is an internal story we tell as well. We are a people of storehouses, of barns. The self-storage industry, all those units that people rent to place their extra stuff, this year in the United States alone, that will generate $45 billion. And three quarters of that, about $34 billion, that's just personal self-storage. Not businesses who need to hold on to documents, but just the extra stuff of life that we hold on to, just in case. The self-storage industry is projected to grow in upcoming years to $50 billion. We are building bigger, more climate-controlled barns. St. Basil, in the 4th century, imagined having his own conversation with Jesus' parabolic rich farmer. And Basil imagined asking the man in the story, "But if you fill those larger barns, what do you intend to do next? Will you tear them down yet again, only to build them up once more? What could be more ridiculous than this incessant toil, laboring to build and then laboring to tear down again?" St. Basil went on, "If you want storehouses, you have them in the stomachs of the poor." St. Basil's concerned about the poor. He's concerned that the hungry are fed, and he is also concerned about the rich man. The rich man is telling himself a story of scarcity. He's working so hard to protect his wealth. He's investing so much time and energy and labor and soul in storehouses. He's missing the point. He has enough. He has more than enough. The most repeated word in the story is abundance. This man is already free to give away out of his abundance. What the rich man needs isn't more stuff. The rich man needs a better story. The rich man needs a story that allows him to be generous. And St. Basil wanted to invite this man to see the story unfolding all around him. The story of his neighbors who are hungry. The story of a world in need. Leaving food to rot in storage when your neighbor is hungry is criminal. It can be stunning how literal the Bible has become lately. There are literal storehouses of food going to waste in this country while people are starving in Gaza. Our government in recent months has been burning food rations rather than distributing them. We are living through biblical times. We are living through times like those of Jesus. And Jesus came to give us a better story. Jesus longs to give us a better story, which is part of why I appreciate this place, the island of sanity that this place is. Every Tuesday, we redistribute food out of storehouses to hungry neighbors. Every day, kids come to learn and to play at our preschool, and the majority of those kids are on state support to do so. We stand up for the rights of immigrants, LGBTQ+ people, women, indigenous people. Each Sunday, we tell the bigger story, the story of love and justice that God desires for all of us. We tell that story each Sunday, and we seek to live it out each week. Stories have power, real power. In his book, The Tears of Things, Richard Rohr talks about the danger that can come if we tell ourselves a partial story. He talks about the grief of someone who has lost their spouse when their main story that they've told themselves about themselves was their love story. When you see the whole world as simply the stage for your love story and your partner dies, what more story is there to live? A similar kind of grief can come for a parent who for years has centered the story of parenthood. And when the child leaves home, or God forbid, if a child dies before the parent, that grief can be overwhelming. The only way through is to realize that there is a wider story out there. There are people who still need our love, friends, family, neighbors who can still help us to find purpose and meaning. God's story is always bigger than the details of our individual lives. God is always writing a story about the whole world, with hopes, with possibility. And part of the work of grief is learning eventually to participate in a wider story. Stories have real power for how we shape our world. The other week, I was invited to speak at a rally, and I had to search my soul a little bit. I've been wrestling with the fear and the hopelessness all around. I feel assaulted by the news every day. And as I prepared to speak, I had the words of Harvey Milk in my head. In the 1970s, to the LGBTQ+ organizers facing outright hostility, to folks facing impossible odds, Harvey Milk said, "You've got to give them hope." I also had rattling around in my head the image that Richard Rohr has of the incomplete prophet. Richard calls prophets incomplete if they don't finally make their way to hope, if they don't find a way to talk about the place of hope, the place of healing. The prophets who only railed against the system, Richard counts as incomplete. The full work of the prophet is to help the people remember how to sing the Lord's song in a strange land, how to find God's hope. And so I looked out at the crowd and I said, I see many of you are carrying the signs that you have carried at recent other protests. I see signs against policies which would harm public lands, signs written against policies which would limit access to abortion. There's nothing wrong with these signs. We need those messages. But I want to invite you to something more. I want you to take some time to remember, to imagine the world that you hope for. Hope requires more than stating what we are against. Hope requires more than negative assertions. The work of resistance is difficult work. At St. Michael's, we are part of a coalition for immigrant rights. This church, along with nonprofits like the New Mexico Immigrant Law Center, Somos, El Centro, and others, has been going to Santa Fe to testify for legislation which would end immigrant detention in our state. And it takes stamina because we've been working for this bill for a number of years and it still hasn't passed. New Mexico detention centers still hold thousands of immigrants in conditions which violate human rights. We still run storehouses for people. And showing up again and again to rally after rally, hearing after hearing, year after year, it takes stamina, it takes persistence, and it takes a vision. To go for that long, you have to remember your reason why. You have to keep in mind the world you hope for, the story you want to tell. Imagine a country which writes laws to welcome immigrants, creating a sane and orderly immigration system which responds to labor needs and allows families to reunite. Imagine a country where immigrant workers do not have to fear raising their voices about labor conditions because they have protections under the law. Imagine a world where LGBTQ+ kids aren't terrified to come out for fear of rejection, where their families embrace them with hugs and with joy because they have discovered deeply who they are. Imagine a world where access to reproductive health care is protected by law and where all health care is treated as a human right, where no one goes bankrupt to pay for care, where the definition of medically necessary is up to the patient and the doctor together. Imagine a world where elder care is a human right as well, and where disabled people are integral members of our communities. Imagine a world where we teach the stories of our indigenous communities, where those communities are celebrated and compensated for the land that was stolen. Imagine a world where education funding is abundant, where teachers are paid like doctors or lawyers. Imagine a country where one of the most guaranteed ways to build wealth is to invest in technology for sustainable energy. Imagine a city where we build plentiful housing so no one has to sleep on the streets or try to get sober without a roof over their head. Those aren't just dreams. There are enough resources in our storehouses to do everything I just mentioned. But to get there, we have to tell our stories of hope. We have to remember the story we want to tell about this country. If you're going to sustain the work for justice, if you're going to sustain the work for change, you have to remember your hope. The stories we tell our children matter maybe the most. Stories help kids understand the world and their place in it. They help shape their world. In the days ahead, in the years ahead, take some gold boxes down off the shelf. Dust them off. Tell stories about the world that is still possible. Tell stories that Jesus told, about lost sheep found, about generous widows who give their all, about people who encounter healing and don't have to pay, about a table wide enough for all. Tell our children these stories so they will yet dare to hope. Amen.